Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the 9th annual Link Boutillion. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Established in 1946, Links Incorporated is a not-for-profit international corporation. It boasts 283 chapters in 41 states, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, consisting of more than 14,000 professional women of color. It is one of the nation's oldest and largest service organizations. The Tallahassee chapter of the Links Incorporated has been making a difference for over 65 years. In the year 2011, it launched the Leadership Development Mentoring, Character Education Program, and Links Boutillion. The program's mission is to promote higher education while addressing the need for improved high school graduation rates. Leadership development, character education, and community service learning for students of diverse, socially disadvantaged backgrounds. The focus is the endangered African American male. Joining me at the roundtable, I welcome Micah Grant. Micah is a senior attending Lincoln High School, where he has been a member of the National Honor Society for the past 3 years. National French Honor Society for the past 2 years. He also participates in the school's chorus and was a member of the homecoming court.
Hi.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
We also have Charles Haruda. Charles is a senior attending Lincoln High School, member of the National Honor Society, served as treasurer of the National English Honor Society, and serves as captain of the cross-country team and a member of the track and field team.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have you. Dante Jackson, senior, attending James S. Rickards High School, where he is active member of the National Honor Society, yearbook committee, eccentric modeling troupe, and was a member of the school's soccer team. He is a member of the Boys Choir of Tallahassee and is currently the second tenor section leader.
Hey, how are you?
Glad to have you. Makaris Lindsay, senior, attending James S. Rickards High School, where he is a member of the marching band percussion section and serves as rank sergeant for percussion tenor, tom drums, and is a member of the percussion ensemble. Future Business Leaders of America, the track and field progressive men of society, and placed as one of the first of the five starters for 2018-19 Black History Brain Bowl.
Good afternoon.
That's a mouthful. But congratulations to you both, not all of you on all of this.
Thank you.
Duane Reese Jr. is a senior attending James S. Rickards High School. Yay for Rickards. Rickards is in the studio today, where he serves as a senior class vice president, senior co-editor of the yearbook staff, and is the current vice chair of the Student District Advisory Council.
Hi.
Okay. And we have Dakari Tompkins. He is a senior attending Lawton Charles High School, where he currently serves as recruitment manager for the Charles Mock Trial Team and was a 2018 Mock Trial State Competition finalist and a 2018 MLK Dreamers and Doers finalist for school representation.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Okay. Well, we got you all. And I have Miss Linda Dilworth, who is the chair of the Lynx Boutillier.
And Dr. Hollyfield, we'd like to thank you for having us today.
Well, I always enjoy having you. I guess this is becoming an annual thing, and it's nice to see how you all have grown, and each year it gets bigger and bigger. And we have one member that we couldn't even include, but I want to say hello to him. And that is McKinley Wilson. He is unable to. We have so many sitting at the table that I just couldn't fit him in, but I want you all to be aware of him. He is a senior attending James S. Rickards High School, where he is a member of the National Honor Society, and he serves as senior class president and member of Student Government Association. He's also the captain of the varsity football team, and we, you know, are glad to have you and just couldn't fit you in. Start out by telling us just about the Lynx Boutillier. Okay, tell us about the program. I know this year it was 7 weeks, right?
That's right.
Okay.
We are just delighted about our Lynx Boutillier program, this being our 9th consecutive year of just lifting, celebrating the accomplishments, and encouraging these young men in their routes to college education and in reaching their goals. We want the community and have been successful in having the total community to embrace in lifting these young men as they move forward in reaching their professional and academic goals.
Well, they all are looking so very professional. It's unfortunate that you're on radio and nobody can see you. But again, I welcome you and I thank you for coming to share your experiences. Exactly what schools are represented. I know Rickards is in the house, okay? In addition, and I know everyone is not here, so if you would share with us, you know, what schools are represented this year.
Right. We were fortunate this year to have most all of the local high schools, both public and private. We had participants from, obviously, Rickards High School, Godfrey High School, also Lincoln High School, John Paul Catholic High School, McClay High School was represented, Florida High was also represented.
Oh, I think Childs.
And Childs.
And
Childs. And FAMU-DRS. Thank you for the help.
How do you identify the schools? I mean, what's the process?
Well, our process is one of nominations or recommendations from school counselors, from churches, from community organizations. Some of these young men were represented or nominated, rather, from local organizations that work with youth. And so we, in terms of input, value the community's input in terms of nominations of our young guys.
Well, that's real positive to see that the community is involved in identifying these dynamic young men.
Yes.
Okay. What is the exact criteria for participating? What do they have to do? And then you said, who makes the recommend? Does it come from eventually come from their school counselor, or how does that work?
Yes, we have had a period from September through November where we accepted nominations, and we were looking for young men with a minimum 2.5 GPA or grade point average. Mm-hmm. Also, young men that had demonstrated some excellence in the fields of academics and our the arts and our community service and our church involvement and our leadership. And so looking around for who would fit these criteria. Also, we were looking for young men that had no disciplinary interfaces in terms of school. But as we asked the community, local community, to look and to say, who are these young men? And they are presented here as we sit around your table. And, of course, we had a total of 19.
Okay, so these are the cream of the crop.
Yes.
Okay, all right. This is basically what I hear you saying, Ben, a celebration and a recognition of a job well done.
Right.
So all of you have done really well, whether it's character and moral turpitude or community service and academics, all of them had to meet a strict academic requirement. So, and you've been seniors in good standing, everybody will be graduating and moving on. Can you share with me, and I'll just go around the table, where, you know, where you plan to go? Say your name and what you plan to do and maybe major in.
I'm Charles Haruta, and I plan to go to either Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona or the University of Florida to major in aerospace engineering.
Okay. I'm Dewan Reese, and I plan to go to University of Central Florida in Orlando to major in biomedical sciences.
I'm Aquarius Lindsay, and I plan on attending Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University in Tallahassee and major in civil engineering.
My name is Dante Jackson, and I plan to go to Florida State University in Tallahassee, Florida, and major in social work.
I'm Micah Grant. I plan to go to Florida State University or the University of Central Florida to major in creative writing.
I'm Dakari Tompkins. I plan to go to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, and I plan to major in computer science.
Okay, Morehouse was one of the schools that you visited.
That's right.
Had you been there? I guess you had been there already, huh? Checked it out.
Oh, no, that was actually my first time ever going, but I really liked the experience, and that influenced my decision to apply there.
Okay, that's good. So I have, what, six of the Bows attending. Now, I also understand that FAMU, Student Government Association, was involved, right?
Oh, they were very
what
much
was their
involved.
Involvement?
Basically, they came and did a segment for us, a workshop, and basic presentation for our attendance as well as our BOWS, gave us a lot of good information in terms of how to present yourself. And in addition, they were very instrumental as we did our culminating event on March 3rd, our formal presentation. The student government assisted us in getting pipe and drape and that sort of thing in place for our presentation. They also gave us some suggestions in terms of community service projects. And so one of the projects that they suggested was to put together assembly of testing preparation booklets for professional schools and graduate record exam. And the BOWS decided to take them up on that suggestion and offered a donation to accumulate a library of materials for students at Florida A&M University that are not able to buy those materials as they prepare for testing for professional school.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I've got some dynamic folks here today. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and today is a real special program. We have a representation from the Lynx Boutillion. This is the 9th annual Lynx Boutillion, and it is a really dynamic program, and we really applaud Lynx Incorporated for what they do and their involvement in the community. Now, I know mentoring is a big part of the program. All of you had mentors, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you share with us what type of activities you engaged in with your mentor, what you did, what you gained out of having that mentor? And whoever wants to go first, I know I can't see you, but whoever wants to go first, feel free to do so.
Well, our mentors were our paired links, and we did a fundraiser for the Boutillion itself in terms of selling tickets to the event and, you know, selling ads. And so the paired links helped us in being able to learn how to sell those ads and then helping us sell those ads themselves. But beyond that, we had guest speakers every week that the Lynx would bring in to talk with us about things that they had done successfully and try to steer us in the right direction as we move towards becoming men and becoming professionals in the working world.
Okay. Okay. Other comments? Anything else you'd like to add to that?
My parent link was Ms. Dobby Flowers. She was the first African-American female to be homecoming queen at FSU. Because me and my family are, we're already, like, family friends. Well, we're family friends with her. It was kind of comfortable for me. And I also learned how to, like, manage, like, money, and also how to, like, talk to certain businesses in order to raise money for the program.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Anything else? Anyone have anything else they want to share? All right. In addition, I know it's a 7-week curriculum, okay? And it's based on, I guess it's trying to enhance the social and leadership skills. What types of things do they do in this? And I'll try to glean from them what they learned. Okay? Okay. What did you learn? What did you learn from the 7-week curriculum? Tell us what, first of all, tell us what it involved. What did that, what was in that curriculum? And I'd like to hear from all of you, okay? But tell us what that curriculum involved and what you learned from it. And the best way to think of this is as we're painting a picture for the listening audience, and we're just painting a picture with words, so that when this program is over, they will be able to go, oh, that's what the Tallahassee Links Incorporated is about. That's what the Boutillion does. So we want them who are listening to be able to walk away from their radios and go, okay, I know about that. I might want to be involved with it. I might want to contribute, because I know that you take all types of donations and whatever.
We do.
That's what we're trying to do. So I, again, asked you to tell us about this curriculum and just what was involved. I'm looking at you.
Okay.
So you're in the hot seat.
That's fine. Okay. I was planning on speaking.
Okay.
But one of the major things I took away from this Boutillion was the idea of being exposed. The exposure is one of the major things. And basically with that, I had no idea prior to this program how many successful people were in the Tallahassee area in general. Thanks to this program, I was able to see different sides of not only Tallahassee, but different areas like Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and basically what it was like to be successful and what it's like to be in their shoes. And basically, like Charles said, trying to help us steer us into that direction of being successful. And besides that, this program was also taught us about financial literacy, entrepreneurship, things of that nature to get our minds thinking about our future and what we can do to make sure that our future is successful.
Okay.
And going off of what Ms. McCarr said, one of the big themes of the whole program itself is your transition into manhood. And I think that the Links Battalion program teaches you not only how to become like a man, but responsibility, self-management, and you're around a lot of successful people. So you're shown an example of what success looks like, and you want to strive to become that. So I think that's really important that we're exposed to something like that to help us, you know, encourage us to do better with our lives.
Okay.
Something that about the Boutillion that impacted me is I pretty much told myself, hey, I want to live this lifestyle. Like when we went to D.C. and we went to all those places, and the fact that we were able to go to D.C., go to a basketball game, go to Congressman Lawson's office, all that stuff, it's like there's a lot of people who are successful. I can be successful too. Even the people in the Tallahassee chapter of the Links Incorporated, they're successful. They've done stuff. So that makes me believe I can do stuff too, because I see that they've done stuff, and makes me feel better and feel as if I need to work to get to where they are so that I can be like them.
All right. Yes, brother. And I mean, what did the curriculum do for you? What did you get out of it? How did it enhance your social or your leadership skills? What did you learn?
Okay. I basically learned that family.
Well, think about it. Okay. I won't put you in the hot seat. We'll come back to you, but I will come back. So think about it. Yes.
Okay. One lesson that I actually learned is teamwork. Teamwork helps make a lot of things, you know, process easily. Communication is also key, especially when you work with a large group of people, especially when you have a common project that you have to get completed. Sometimes taking a leadership position is also key to certain situations, because you need to make sure things are organized or to make sure that they're also processed easily.
Okay. Now you're back. All right.
Okay, well, from the program, I basically learned that communication is key. When we started, some of us knew each other, but not all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started the program, we got to know each other as the weeks went on. And every week we bonded together, and that built a relationship that we're going to keep for the rest of our lives.
Okay.
Yeah, Dante. I didn't know Dante before, but now he's my home dog.
Okay. All right. That's good.
I think the biggest thing that I took away from the Botillion was learning about cooperation and just how much effort you have to put into it. There are a lot of times when it would have been easier to just do things individually, just because interacting with a large group, it gets hard. I remember doing the community service project and just getting people on the same page. That was extremely difficult with 19 people with 19 schedules and 19 different lives that we had to manage. But, you know, being able to listen to other people, you know, and respond to them, and then learn how to integrate them into the plans for the whole group, that was key in being able to fundraise the 540 cans that we did to be able to feed the homeless and give to different shelters around Tallahassee.
Okay.
And another thing about, like, as far as the cooperation and teamwork that we experienced, I was a little more reserved as a person before I experienced this program, and I think the social interaction aspect of it was something that I really benefited from, and I just really made friends and got to know a lot of new people that I didn't previously know before.
These are some dynamic young men.
They are.
They really are. We're proud of them.
I applaud you. You all are just really dynamic. So the program started, in January?
It started on January 6th with a commitment meeting.
Okay.
And then each week we had a separate session, starting with our first session was Green Coat session. And that's when they were donned in green coats to tell the community of their commitment to preparing for manhood and grooming. And then following the green coat ceremony, Colonel Ronald Joe did a man-to-man session with them, followed the following week by Dr. A.J. Brickler, who taught them about the Tuskegee Airmen and took them up on a private plane trip. Then the following week, we had a trip to Washington, D.C.
That's what I want to hear about, you know. And I know you went to a number of different places. You went to D.C., the National Museum of African American History. You'd had a tour of Morehouse. You went to Charlotte. Was it Charlotte?
Charlotte.
And you saw an NBA game. Was that first game that you all had ever seen, or had you seen other professional teams?
That was my first time.
What was your impression of it?
It was really fun.
Okay.
It was just so much fun. Like, we, not only watching the game, but like being there with other people just in general, is like being with your friends. So it was a really fun experience.
And you also, in Atlanta, toured Morehouse. What was your impression? Now, I'll let somebody else tell me about Morehouse, then I'll come to you last. But what was your impression of Morehouse? I mean, since you're here in Tallahassee, you do have HBCU, FAMU. But going to Morehouse, I would think, may have been a different experience. In fact, it's all dynamic men. So share with us what your impression of Morehouse was.
All of you. After you, Makaris. Okay, well, my impression of Morehouse was that it was a very, very prestigious university or college, I should say. And despite what many people believe that, you know, like being a male and going to all-male college, it might be difficult to, you know, have a social life or whatever or any type of thing like that. But right literally next to Morehouse is Spelman in Clark, Atlanta.
Right.
And so, some of the students there at Morehouse told us that sometimes, yes, it's an all-male institution, but there are females who take classes at Morehouse. And despite that, Morehouse, and from my opinion and from what I've heard and saw, like many other HBCUs, it's a lot of deep history involved at the school that I'd have no idea of before visiting the school. And it was a very enlightening experience, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, for me, Morehouse, the tour we had, that was my first college tour. And the person who was giving us the tour was someone who goes to my church who I looked up to. Because he was 2 years older than me. I was around him a lot. And it was just nice seeing someone I knew and I looked up to at a college where he seemed to fit in and where he enjoyed going. And just seeing him talk about him and how he himself and how he is pretty much succeeding in everything and what he's trying to accomplish. So it was nice for me and to see what the college looked like and what the surroundings were and stuff. It was a nice experience for me.
What about the visit made you make your final decision on Morehouse?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was very culturally rich, and just the campus and everything was just beautiful to me. I thought that our tour guide really did a really nice job of presenting the college in a way that made it seem like it was a college you would want to go to. Mm-hmm. And before that my parents had mentioned it to me before. And I wasn't too familiar with it, but after I did the tour, I did a lot of more research on it, and I was very interested in going. So just in general, I just think it was definitely beneficial for me going on that tour, and I think it was one of the best decisions, and it will be one of the best decisions I will ever make in my life to go to Morehouse, and I'm honored to have the opportunity.
Yeah, Morehouse, man.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments?
I think one of the most impressive things about Morehouse was something that Makaris touched on earlier, was that the history at the college. And you could see it from the architecture and just from the way that, you know, the monuments. They had a monument of Martin Luther King Jr. I believe our tour guide told us that it was the tallest or the second tallest statue of Martin Luther King Jr. in America. And so just being able to see the history and seeing a university celebrate history, in particularly Black history, is something that we haven't gotten the chance to see a lot. I mean, FAMU is in Tallahassee, but there's a lot of universities, you know, around the state, around the country, that want to be as modern as they can. And instead of, you know, holding on to the past and, you know, getting to show people what we have done in the past, they instead try to just go straight to the future. And that's one of the things I valued about Morehouse, the fact that they showed us our past and all the beautiful things about it.
Okay. Any other comments? Well, I know also you had an individual flight with Dr. Brickler. Shout out for Dr. A.J. Brickler. What was that like? It seems like it would just be exciting.
It really was. I really enjoyed that flight. That was my first time being in the air in general.
Really?
So I really enjoyed it. And
were you anxious at all? Or?
Not really. I mean, not really. I wasn't at all. I like things like that. So, even just being in there with him, like, seeing someone that successful, because that was his own private plane, or that was his own private vehicle. So being in the air with him and being able to talk to him and get to know what he did to get that far and to be that successful, it was really enjoying. I even made him, like, do, like, a little trick in the air, like, where he dived down a couple feet.
Really?
I mean, it made me kind of scared, but it was really nice. I really enjoyed that that Sunday.
Okay. Other reflections on the flight?
I thought it was pretty cool because the person that was, like, driving the plane, like, I was in the air with, that was driving his own personal plane, was a person that, like, helped give birth to me.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of cool. Which is, yeah, I found out afterwards.
Okay.
Because I know his name sounded familiar, so I found out afterwards that he helped give birth to me.
That made it even more significant. Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I found out that his dad helped give... Well, his dad actually helped give birth to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So that I thought was even cooler.
A long, rich history.
And he also did that roller coaster. He called it a roller coaster. It was more than a roller coaster. He did it out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, like, plane, like, sort of dropped it out of nowhere.
Really?
Yeah.
I think one of the, like, my thought going into the plane was that it was like this little small, maybe four person, you know, plane. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm a little bit claustrophobic. So I was thinking it wouldn't be for me. But when I got in there, I'm thinking some airlines could use the kind of space that they had in the little plane. I mean, I know I've flown in Delta, JetBlue. There's all kinds of places. And I know I can't get anywhere close to the amount of legroom that I did in Dr. Booker's plane.
Wow.
And I was pretty nervous getting on that plane at first. And I had just eaten before. I was pretty nervous. But when I got on there, it was actually pretty comfortable. And I think that being around somebody like him was very nice experience.
Okay. All right. Now, and I know you also spent time with Judges Gus Akins and Judge Richardson, right? And we're going to take a break shortly, but I would like to come back and talk about that because you all were on teams, right? Or do I have a clear understanding?
Yes.
There was a team, and some of you served as judges. And I just would like to find out what you learned from that experience. Everybody has a kind of expression on their face.
How still kind of salty about that.
How demanding it was and what you gleaned from that. You tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break first, but we'll come back and continue to talk with members of the Botillion, Tallahassee Lynx Incorporated.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and families and folks in the community, all types of interested folks. This hour, 411 Teen features the Tallahassee Lynx Leadership Development Mentoring Character Education Program, and the Botillion. So our conversation will continue. What was it like? I know you did, I guess, role-playing as far as with the judges. And share with us, what role, were you a judge or were you, who were you, what were you? How did that work? That's what I'm trying to find out.
I was a judge.
Okay. And what was the process? What were you doing? What did you all do? I mean, did they have a pseudo case or what? How was that?
It was kind of like a simulation or like we were acting out a case.
Okay.
And you know there were judges and lawyers, and you had to play a defense and a prosecution, and. Yeah, that's basically what it was.
What did you get from it? What did you learn? You know, you had two judges there that are real judges, probably can tell you the real deal. I mean, what did you glean from that, being involved?
I already had kind of a little bit experience in knowing about law and the courtroom because of my mock trial experience, but I learned kind of a little more about the basics of how it works, how a courtroom system works, the way we did. We had the people who played the lawyers. They had to give like they had to argue their case. They had to give like opening statements and stuff like that. So it was just a little taste of what that kind of experience is like, and also it might. For somebody who might want to, you know, get into law, that's something that would be important to know.
Okay.
comments.
Well, with a little bit more background on the mock trial, we were doing a case that involved a young African-American male who was basically seen with a gun in the Miami-Dade area. And so being that it was a young African-American male, in which we are a group of young African-American males, so it was kind of an emotional type of topic to talk about. So that's what got us all engaged in the first place. And so I was a defendant, one of the defendants. And so I had to argue on the behalf of the young man. And I had to explain to them, you know, the circumstances of, you know, this and that. And and it was a very motivating and very emotional topic to talk about, for one. And so I really enjoyed that. And it kind of sparked the interest to be involved in some kind of law involved major or career in the future. I really enjoyed that one.
Okay.
I thought it was pretty fun. I was the Chief Justice, I think, Kennedy.
Yeah, Chief Justice Kennedy.
They gave us robes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They gave us robes. I asked for a gavel.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a gavel. And she said, I have one because I work with kids. So, yeah, I could bring my gavel. I was okay. She brought a gavel. I was waiting on powdered wigs. We didn't get powdered wigs.
You didn't get the wig. Okay.
No. But being Chief Justice, you have to listen to everybody. And then, you have to listen to both sides. So you have to understand fully both sides. You can't just go off of what you believe automatically. You have to go through a deep thinking process of both sides and, interpret the information in order to make a decision. And then you have to consult with the other justices on the topic also to see what their opinion is.
Okay. Any other comments on it? It seems like it was something that you really were engaged in and that everybody seemed to enjoy.
Yes.
Okay. You had to learn how to waltz. Compared to your current dances, and I know you had a step show too, right? How difficult was it to learn how to waltz? Was it hard or was it easy?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't necessarily hard. It was definitely a process.
Okay.
It was a process, but we pulled it off in the end. It worked out in the end.
Okay.
Beginning it, I'm, used to dancing, so with me, I caught on fast. But the problem was my family and friends. I had to teach my grandma how to do it, and it was hard. But we got through it in the end. Even though she didn't really dance with me that night, my cousin did, but she wanted to learn as well.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Well, similar to what Dakari said, it was definitely a process. It really wasn't just the both that were involved. It was the parents, the attendants, and it was a pretty large group of people. And so getting everybody on the same page was sometimes kind of difficult, but it definitely worked out in the end. It was very beautiful to see.
Oh my gosh, that was interesting.
Was it?
That was an interesting experience. it was a lot of hard work. You have to have good coordination to dance. Otherwise, you're going to be stepping on people's toes or off rhythm. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of factors that ended up being in. We had to make sure it was perfect. Dance instructor had to make sure it was perfect.
Really? How long did it take you to learn?
When did we start practices? It was
the week after the green coat.
Right.
Yeah, it was the week after the green coat ceremony. It was hot. You sweated, but it paid off in the end because it looked good. It looked really good.
Really? Yeah. That it did.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing about the dancing was that how you carry yourself and how you present yourself. You can go through the motions and go through the steps and everything like that, and you'll get it down. But making it look good is all about how you present yourself, how you have the smile on your face, whether you're looking at your dance partner and, whether they're your annoying sibling or something like that, or whether, you're actually enjoying your time there. It makes a big difference in how the overall presentation is.
Okay. All right. When you think about your experience, the whole 7-week period, and all the different activities, mentoring that you were involved in, I want to hear from each one of you. What was the most significant?
Well, for me, it was the other links, the other bows, sorry. It was the other bows, and I made a lot of friends during this experience, and everyone in this room currently is I'm like super tight with, and there's a few people who aren't here, but like I'm also super tight with, and I love being around them, and I want to continue to be around them, and I just wouldn't trade the time for anything, and it was just such a fun experience and something I loved. Okay. So that's what I...
Okay.
Similar to what Micah said, it was just the experience of getting to know other high school seniors, African-American seniors that were just as successful as me and on the right path to success, just being in that type of environment, and along with the activities that we did every Sunday that bonded us together, that was the most significant thing, in my opinion, throughout the whole program.
Okay.
For me, it was just being able to sit there and laugh with people, and whether it was the other bows on, like, the bus when we were traveling up to D.C. or Atlanta, or, you know, during the rehearsals, or just with my mom and I'm sitting there dancing with her, making her crack up and, you know, miss some steps. It was just really nice getting to see, you know, true laughter and joy within people that, you know, it can be hard to find sometimes, but the Botillion definitely brought it out.
Okay,
so this experience was basically, yeah, it's the pure definition of a brotherhood because we acted like brothers. We got on each other's nerves sometimes, a lot of times.
Preach.
But at the end of the day, we found, like, a common ground in order to cooperate with each other a lot. Then we also had a lot of fun together. Like, we had it was like a private eating room in at the NBA game. I felt really rich being there. It was like 6 TVs in there or something like that.
7
TVs. There was like 7 TVs. And then like the experience at Morehouse where we all like learned about different histories that Morehouse brought it, like MLK used to go there, like different things like that. And then we also went to African American Museum where we all learned about where we came from, how we started in America, what we went through in order to work past, like, the civil rights movement, like, or the progress in society, and then where we are now, where we're cooperating, interacting with different ethnicities and different races all across America, and how we're also, like, you know, prominent figures inside of government, how we're prominent figures inside of local government, state government, and law, and different areas like that. So I felt like it was a good bonding moment so we can all learn about our history and our culture together. Mm-hmm. And then how we can also contribute to that as we get older, as we go into our professions and different areas of work.
Okay. On the topic of the learning experience, especially when we went to the African American Museum, I thought that was so cool. They had it to where, like, it went from all the way to, like, the 1400s down to the present day, all of African American history and just rich culture and stuff that I didn't know that I was just learning about. So I think that the learning experience was really great in this program. Not only that particular moment, but just a lot of things that I learned to do as a young man, proper etiquette, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most significant thing that I learned through this program is that family itself is hard to find. And through this program, I bonded more with my grandma, my mother, my cousin that I didn't usually do because I'm busy with school or like community service. And during this 7-week period that we, like every Sunday, I had the chance to dance with my grandma. It sounds weird that I never danced with her, but that was like the first time. And doing things with my mother outside and helping the community at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that everybody?
Thanks, Amy.
Okay. For those who are listening and they hear you talking about the program and they're wondering, wow, is that something that I should, you know, ascribe to? Is that something that I want to look forward to becoming involved? I'm wondering, you know, other young African-American males, what kinds of things would you tell them about the program?
Well, me personally, I've already told a lot of people at my school who are on the come up about the program. And I have a little brother, and he was a junior bow. So he was, like, helping out and stuff. And I made sure he knew about the told him about stuff. And
excuse me for interrupting. Mm-hmm. Tell us what a junior bow is. What is it?
Junior bow, they would help with the program, with the actual the final program we had. They would pass out awards. They would take the canes from when we danced. They would just help with the logistics type of stuff. Okay. And yeah, my brother did that. But yeah, back to the recommending and stuff. Yesterday, I told one of my friends who's a sophomore at Lincoln, hey, make sure you know about the Lynx Battalion. He was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you make sure you apply for that, because it was so great for me, and I know you'd like it. And he was like, okay. So
that's a great testimonial.
It's just a great program, something I loved, and I think, and I know my fellow peers loved it too. And I just hope it's something that I want to recommend it, so it can be something that someone I know loves too. So
I think that's a real shout out to the Lynx Incorporated of Tallahassee and their dynamic Botillion program. What would you say, you know, how would, if you were telling someone who may be interested, a little bit unsure, sitting on the fence, what kinds of things would you say to younger brothers?
I would definitely say this is a program that you want to get into. It's an experience that you're only going to experience once in your life. It's a brotherhood experience, like we previously said before. It's a learning experience. It's just a transition into what it's like to be more, it's more like an elevated experience, just something that being around all these successful people, and not only just the people that we got to meet throughout our experiences, but just being around your fellow bows, I think that was an experience that I'm not going to experience again. And I think it's important that you get into it.
Okay.
I think for me, it was about, you know, pride and being able to have a better image about myself as a black man in America. And because often we only hear about black men in negative lights, you know, having done things wrong or, you know, being in trouble. And one of the things that the Lynx took a lot of time to do was to expose us to successful members of black society and, you know, and people that aren't often celebrated, and, you know, really give kids the chance to go and see that you can be successful. And so if you have any self-doubts about yourself or about who you are as a person, the Lynx Battalion helps clear that up a lot, and it helps give you the confidence to go and step out into the world knowing that I can do this. You know, whatever I put my mind to, I will be able to do it.
Okay.
For those who are interested or have heard about this program, I would definitely say that the things you are doing now matter, and hard work does not go unnoticed. Like Ms. Dilworth said, without the recommendation of my guidance counselors or without them noticing my success in academics as well as extracurricular activities, I would not be in this program. And I'm very grateful that the things that I did during my freshman, sophomore, and junior years paid off, and that I didn't lose hope or didn't give up, thinking that no one was noticing my efforts or the things that I did throughout the school. So I definitely would like to tell anyone who's thinking about doing this program that they should definitely do it, and that it will open their eyes. It was definitely an eye-opening experience.
Anything quick you have to say?
Yeah, what Macarius was talking about how you get recognized based on your, like, accolades and what you do across your community and in school, it's a really good thing before you join to make sure everything is organized. Mm-hmm. So that when they give you that paper to write down your leadership positions, the awards you won, how many community service hours from what organizations did you work to get the community service hours and things like that, it's good that you have all of that with you.
Okay. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Share that as we close. Where would you like to see yourself? Real quickly.
Well, in 5 years, I would like to see myself probably having a major in, a master's degree in social work.
Okay.
And basically having my own office that people can come and sit down and talk to me about their life.
Okay, well, we are out of time. I want to applaud you. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. A special thanks to the Tallahassee Links Incorporated chapter for their service and commitment to the youth. To my listening audience, thanks for the privilege of your time and your ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Teen archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.